Hello and welcome to Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast, episode 70, There is No Hiding While on the Way. Today is Friday, October 24th, 2008. Happy birthday, Genesee. 9 years. Wow.
I rode my bicycle past your window last night.
Good morning, afternoon, evening, whenever you're tuning in to Pastor Paul's podcast. I am your hostess with the mostest, Janine Arnopoulos, and I'm coming to you from North Minneapolis, Minnesota, USA. Just had to say that. Today, I'm going to be Grandma Mimi. Hey, Jen, 9 years old. How many of you can remember when you were 9 years old? Give me a call on the comment line. Let me know. 1-715-808-0318. 9 years old. Where were you? What year was it? And what were you doing? I'm going to start it off. I was in Northeast Minneapolis. I was at the Rhythmland Roller Rink. I just started paying for my own roller skating lessons. Yes, I've been going roller skating for quite some time, and I was waiting, always we were waiting in line to get in, and we would see Glenn and his students out practicing, taking their lessons, and I thought, you know, I really would love to learn how to do what they're doing. They were doing jumps and spins and double axles and sow cows and all of these and dancing waltzes. So I did. I got my babysitting money together and I went ahead and I took some lessons. And I had to use, you know, the roller skating rink roller skates, and they didn't have the right stoppers. And so I had to get some skates, but you know, I had to do all this on my own. My parents did not pay for these things for us. You know, we had to go babysit or do yards or do some way. We'd have to raise our own money. And I was a really good babysitter, so I used to be able to have quite a bit of money I put away for babysitting. So went with the lessons. Guess what? Glenn came up with a pair of used skates one of his students was going to get rid of and sell. And so my first line of credit, age 9, I bought a really good pair of used skates. A new pair I could have never afforded to get this good of a pair of skates. So they were so, I wish I still had those skates. They were so good. I mean, you put them on and they were like smooth, you know? So I was so excited. I had my roller skate lessons going. I just purchased my first pair of used skates on a line of credit. I think I paid, you know, we went through Glenn. I think what would happen is people would turn their skates in and then Glenn would resell them. And then he would sell you new skates as well. So that's kind of how that works. I remember paying Glenn, I think, a couple bucks a week or whatever. Oh, when I had my roller skating case with all my roller skating outfits that I bought myself. Yes, yes, I did. So there you go, kiddies out there. You go out there and you work and you make some money and you can be independent. And you don't have to rely on your mom and dad for money. So anyways, that's where I was at. So why don't you tell me, where were you at 9 years old? What were you up to? Give us a call on the comment line. And also, let's get a couple announcements out of the way. First of all, before we get into Pastor Paul's message, which is excellent, there is no hiding while on the way. And again, you know, maybe that's part of the reason, thinking about this real quickly, why I love Melanie's song, A Brand New Key. Although she is singing about a brand new pair of roller skates. I don't know. Anyways, must be the subconscious. Pastor Paul goes into that as well in the message. Talks about the subconscious and the big house. Well, we'll get back into that. But first, let me make these announcements real quick. See, the message is so good, I'm just already jumping into it. Quick announcements. Go to the blog. Subscribe to the podcast. www.pastorpaul.blogspot.com. And there you're going to see the show notes. You're going to see links to the scriptures. Also, you can go to www.pastorpaul.org. Up at the top of the homepage, you're going to see interactive links to the blog, to Flickr, to the podcast, to our store, Twitter, and YouTube. So you can just go to www.pastorpaul.org and then just link to the blog from there, which is really nice because I set it up to open up into a new page. So everything is opened into a new page. You don't have to use your back button. You know, I make it easy for you guys, you know. Now, if I could just get the rest of the website up, we'd be in good shape. Oh, let me think here. Did I tell you we're from North Minneapolis? Yes, we are from North Minneapolis, Minnesota. Actually, Pastor Paul's is located in the historic Micro Kodesh Synagogue. And also, if you need food and you live in anywhere in Minnesota, we have no boundaries. Write this number down, 612-521-4665. Call us between 1 and 3. We will hook you up with groceries. You can call to find out how to qualify. Also, if you want to make a donation, you can do that right on the homepage. We need your support. If you are in the U.S., it's a tax-deductible donation, a 501c3, so be sure to be generous. At the mission this month, voter registration is taking place. We have our first newsletter in 25 years, complete with a voter registration application that we're giving to everyone. So hopefully everybody's going to get out. You know, it's so hard for me to do this because I have notes, but I never use my notes. It's kind of like when I was roller skating. Routines are a killer for me. You know, I cannot routines. I had to do like freestyle. I had to kind of do it how I felt it. Oh, by the way, too, I used to do my roller skating routine. Guess what song? Exodus. I picked it out myself. Exodus. I'm going to find that song, and that's going to be maybe my theme song for a while on the podcast. I love that song, although, I don't know, it might be just too much in the subconscious, Exodus. But that was my song. That was my song. You know, and at that time when I chose the song, I just merely chose the song because of the drama involved in it. It was just perfect to do my jumps and spins. And the thing is I could never do a routine. That's why I only came in second place. I would always come in second place, never first place, because it was totally improv. I could not do a routine. Just like now doing the podcast, I've got these notes, go down the line. I can't do it. I'm just like all over the place. I'd rather talk off the top of my head. Okay, so here we go. Number one, Pastor Paul talks about when you bury your talent, it's like burying Christ. Have you ever wanted to hide? Well, there's no hiding from God. And when you bury your talent, you're burying the Lord. And he also asks a question, how are you at home? We can all put on a happy face and we can all be someone else when we're in the public. But how are you at home? How are you by yourself? These are some things that you want to be asking yourself. Two things he talks about, moral wrongness, intellectual blindness. Moral wrongness has to do with sex drive. Well, not the sex drive isn't morally wrong, but sex, adultery, all those bad things morally. Blindness, intellectual blindness, where you can just be really intellectual, but be blind with your attitude, your disposition. Number four, do the word and change. So in other words, as Christians, we need to be doing the word, not just reading about it, thinking about it, doing it. And then that's how you develop changing in your life, by doing the word. And that doers always are changing, because everything's always changing. So doers always change. I like change. I have to change. Things have to change. I think things have to keep moving with me. Marriage. Ooh, he talks a lot about marriage. So if you are in a situation where your marriage is questionable, or you have some bad ideas, listen to the message. Listen to the message. That's all I'm going to say there. Self-remodeling does not work. Trying to redo yourself, make yourself over, doesn't work. Then he talks about the big house. The big house. Do you know what the big house is? The big house is like Alcatraz. We, by the way, visited Alcatraz. It's a dark and dreary and dank. Believe me, not a happy house. The big house is not a happy house. He talks about comparing us putting ourselves in solitary confinement, in that our subconscious could be the big house. And so we can put ourselves in bondage in the big house. So you want to listen for that. And then finally, money is the root cause of evil. Money is the root cause of evil. Next Friday's message is, you must give up all your ways on the way. Have a great week. Again, happy birthday, Genesee. We're going to go roller skating, you and I. God bless you.
Which took me to Psalm 101 and 2. I will behave myself wisely in a perfect way. Oh, when wilt thou come unto me? I will walk within my house with a perfect heart. The first part, I will behave myself wisely in a perfect way. And I thought to be holy, that's wise. And a perfect way, I believe, is a wise way. And David's resolve was very excellent. But his practice didn't add up. And his heart was right, though. Now, I think first we must have a desire, and that's all God wants out of us, is a desire to change. Here he is, he's crying out to the Lord, and he says, oh, when wilt thou come unto me? Well, he knows that he needs help, divine help, to help him while he's on the way. Then it goes on, I will walk within my house with a perfect heart. And I thought, you know what? Improvement starts right in the home. We must have a perfect heart at home, or we can't keep one on the outside of that home. How are you at home? You listening on the radio or to this tape, how are you at home? What we are at home is what we are. That's where we let our hair down. That's where it all hangs out. And I thought to myself, does your household dread your coming? Oh no, here comes Dad. Oh no, here comes Mom. Did you hear that, preacher? Now listen, preacher, how would your family fare in a lie detector test if it was asked questions about you? Is this man fun to live with? Is there forgiveness in this person? Do the children love this father or this mother? They'd have to answer according to this lie detector test. They might even like their parents, but they can't, you know, they'd have to tell a lie. And how would we fare? Think about it. There is no hiding while on the way. Moral wrongness makes intellectual blindness. I believe it's easier to live yourself into right thinking than to think yourself into right living. You see, if you live right, and your thinking will be right. In other words, be a doer. Because doers are always changing. They're out in the middle of things, doing things. And while they're out there, they're running into afflictions and they're running into persecutions and troubles and all these things, but they're doing something. There's going to be a change. Do the word, I'm saying. Do the word of God and you will change. And so will your thinking. As you do the will of God, you'll change. You can't help but change whilst you're doing the Word of God, acting it out. But then there are those that sit around trying to think themselves into right living. They're not living. Never will be living. Because our thinking, each one of us, is selfish. And if we're just sitting around thinking without any doing, it's going to come up bad because our thinking is always selfish. Did you ever try to sit down and just think about something? It always comes back to you. I think we become what we do. What we actually act out. And people say, well, what do you do for a living? They don't say, what do you think for a living? Well, it's the same way spiritually speaking. What do you do for a living? Now, this life I live not I that lives, but Christ in me, the hope of glory. In order to live this life of Christ, you have to act out and be Christ-like and act that out. So what do you do with your Christianity? Christianity is not thinking, because thinking only is for very lazy people. And lazy people most times are ornery and all get out. Mean. Now that's the thinkers crowd. See, you talk about it and they just say like, are you going to quit smoking? No, I'm thinking about it. Got a light? Are you going to be reconciled unto your wife? Oh, I'm thinking about it while laying in someone else's arms. I ask a young man, are you going to start school? Oh, I'm thinking about it. Hand me that TV guide over there, will you? Or are you going to work? Oh, that's a good one to think about. There's so many people. You know, I've been thinking lately, I should try to get a job. Pass the chicken. How about my allowance? Could you loan me a couple of bucks? Or are you going to stop drinking? They have a drink in their hand. I'm thinking about it. Or are you going to be involved in a body? Well, you know, I got to be careful. I'm going to think about it a while. So tonight, let's check ourselves out. Am I truthful? Are there certain conditions under which I would lie? Am I honest? Can I be trusted with money at work or other people's reputations? Can I be trusted with someone's reputation? Now I thought to myself, what would some of us do with a juicy backbiting situation? Bite deep and draw blood? Maybe be a little kinder and leave teeth imprints? Or just lick it a little? Just a taste? Or just get a good whiff? Or just be a listener complete with shocked facial expressions? 2 Corinthians 13, 5 through 8 says, test yourselves. That's what we're doing tonight. Test yourself to see if you are in the faith. Examine yourselves. Or do you not recognize this about yourselves, that Jesus Christ is in you, unless indeed you fail the test? In verse 6. But I trust that you realize that we ourselves do not fail the test. In verse 7. Now we pray to God that you do no wrong. Not that we ourselves may appear approved. Are you hearing this? Come on now. But that you may do what is right, even though we appear unapproved. Well, don't go by what you see, but go by what the Word of God tells you to do, and do that which the Word of God tells you to do, and don't worry about someone else, even though that they may seem to appear unapproved. In verse 8, for we can do nothing against the truth. Did you know you can do nothing against the truth? That the truth will always stand. Even though we don't look right, that cannot change the truth. Am I pure? In my relationships with men or women? In my thought life? Or am I easily offended? Or am I loving? Do I lose my temper? Am I quick to sense slights? You know, sometimes people are always waiting for a slight. What's that you said? Oversensitive. Or then do I say I love the Word of God and I will not be offended? See, what you say and what you live and what you do in the Word of God is in relation to how you are healed in your mind, in your body, in your spirit. Am I selfish or am I consecrated? Am I living for me? My place. A lot of women are that way. They live for my place. They're overstuffed chairs and things and things and things. And some guys, they love for their things. Their cars and their four-wheel trucks with a carpeting in the back. They never use them for hauling, nothing. You know what I mean? They just things. My power. I said it, and that's the way it is. My position. So many times we're living for our selfish ambitions. My popularity. And so many times we're worried about how popular we are with people. And I'm not telling you to be unpopular with people. The Bible says, beware when all men speak well of you. And so let's look at ourselves tonight. Be brave. Be brave. You on the tape and on the radio. Be brave. Don't turn it off. Face the biggest enemy that you'll ever meet. You. Don't dodge. Don't make excuses. Realignment to God may be what we have to do tonight. Maybe we're out of alignment. You ever seen somebody's face that's out of alignment? How many had a face that was out of alignment this week? Mine was. Man, I had to go in for a face balancing. or ask ourselves these questions. Am I truthful? And here's the test question for you. To check out your character. Here's one. Will that man lie? Oh, it's so easy to lie. Are you willing to twist a meaning to gain a point? Or gain an argument? Well, yes, he as much as said that. Not exactly, but you know the way she thinks. We all know, don't we? Let's hear it. Yeah, yeah. Or maybe we misquote to gain an end. Like, he said, give me liberty or give me a slow boat to China. Do you ever misquote what somebody says? Well, I think this is the way they said it. It sure sounded that way to me. But anyway, I think that's what they meant. No, there's that thinking person again. Or maybe we have a lack of complete truth in making appeals for funds. Oh, we're in the red, we're slipping, we're falling, and look at the church down the street, and so on like that. No, we're walking the tightrope here in this church. It's just, we're making it. We're not in the red, we're not in the black, we're right down the middle. Or maybe you have a job where you misrepresent things to sell goods. It's fun to watch people when they sell cars to their friends. Oh, it runs like a top. It runs for a while and it falls over on its side and dies. Mileage? Oh, I get around 38, 39, maybe 40 in good weather with my car. And I thought, yes, behind a tow truck. Rust? No, there's no rust, and it's got this old Bondo job, which gives up in the spring, oh. But are there times when it is okay to lie? Oh, yes, there is, as I hear people say. Save a life. Or in politics, or in a war, or in business. Well, you say it's okay to tell a lie if it's for a big cause. What's a big cause? Your cause? A lot of times you find that people think that if they can lie well, it will be an asset. And they don't see that the ability to lie is a liability and not an asset. It always costs more than you gain. It's like a boomerang. Comes back, you're not watching for it, chops your head off. People end up in the divorce court because of a lie. People end up in a reconciliation court because of a lie. Or friendless because of a lie. Or jobless because of a lie. Or heartless because of a lie. The Bible tells us God cannot lie. I believe he does not delegate, I know he does not delegate you the privilege of lying either. He doesn't ever ask me to patch it up a little bit, Paul, and you know, put a few patches on it. I was reading about the early Christians, they would rather die than tell a lie. Oh, but when the world would say, if they said it was a good car or a house or a buy, you can believe them. They're Christians, you know. Ooh. What a witness. How many know we've lost that right? Haven't we? The Bible says, lie not to one another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with its doings. Now, of course, if we lie, that means the old man is much alive. He lives, that lying varmint lives, huh? That's why the Bible says die daily. Well, a lot of times we go along and we die for a whole week and then we're alive for a whole week. And it's about the time when you say, boy, did I have a good week. I feel like I'm becoming spiritual. I'm going home free. Glory to God, I'm above all that now. Bye-bye. And the next week you are a positive stinker. Why is that? Because you left the grace of God and got into self-righteousness. You weren't honest. Anything you have that's good was given to you by God. But are you honest? Well, it's not easy to be honest, they say. We'd rather rationalize, they say. Marriage is old-fashioned, they say. Having babies is old-fashioned, they say. Everybody's doing it, they say. Life is made to live, they say. You're only young once, they say. Boy, they say a lot, don't they? And you know what? They're all wrong. Modern psychology says, don't be objective towards yourself. Just get a divorce and don't suffer. Well, you know, they never preach any kind of suffering. That's why people get divorces right away. We don't suffer with one another. How many know that a marriage is suffering? There's no bad. It's just that the suffering is that you don't want to change. You don't want to go in for a realignment job. You don't want to get balanced. So when you're going down the road and on the way, you're not wobbling. Oh, this modern psychology says, get a divorce and don't suffer. Never look at the facts the way they are. Just invent a few reasons for your decisions and for your conduct. Did you ever try to do that? Invent a few reasons for the way that you acted just horrendous that day. And then you got to sit and come up with decisions. Huh? And you got to come up with, why did that? How am I going to make this look good? Can't be done. There was a man in the Bible who dug a hole and hid his talents and blamed God. Oh, you were so hard. I knew what you'd do. And I thought to myself, every talent that we have is Jesus. Music, singing, playing instruments, ministering, praying, they're all Jesus. Everything that was ever made was made. Whoever was made through Christ. When you hide your talents, you're just hiding Jesus. God will ask you someday, what did you do with your Jesus, your talent? Your only talent is Jesus. He's the only one that gets glorified in anything that we do. God's going to have the glory. No, I buried him. Here he is, let me dig him up. Let me wipe him off. No, the Bible says, let your light so shine before man. Let your Jesus in you shine. The hide your talent man rationalizes. Do you rationalize, you listening on the tape or to this radio, if you haven't turned me off already? The man who falls in love with someone else's wife rationalizes it? God, I do a lot of ministry. Before I get down here, I have two hours of ministry at two places that I stop. And the guy says, my wife, she's so dull. I said, well, how'd she get that way? By living with a dull man? With selfish motives? With a behind-the-paper husband? Is that what you are? A TV husband? A spend the whole weekend watching football? Are you a slurp and burp husband? Are you the husband that has a personality for everybody but your wife? He answered the phone, oh, sure, I'll go. You know, I'm a laugh a minute, sure. Maybe you're the hobbies husband, sitting around gluing them little trains together and junk. Maybe you're the business first husband. Maybe you're a stop with the boys and have a beer husband. Maybe you're the procrastinating husband. Maybe you're the husband that says, why don't you do something with yourself? That's the problem. She does everything for herself and with herself. Now, maybe you don't like that kind of counseling, but it certainly gets down to the nitty-gritty. Say amen, somebody. And so then he goes off and you watch this whole panorama of junk. And he falls in love with another woman and he rationalizes why. Well, I found another woman. Oh, is that right? Now let me tell you now, before you come on with all that heavy ministry, let me tell you all about it. This is love. She's so understanding. Oh, she just understands me. I can just see them sitting together. Two ice cubes, buttercup. She's such a good listener. She's such a good cook. I can't believe anybody could cook like that. But what did you ever give your wife for an allowance for groceries? Don't interrupt. She's real neat, too. I said, traps well laid are always neat, fool. But she smells so beautiful. Well, if you sat in a bathtub with Chanel number 5 all afternoon, you'd smell pretty good yourself. Now, besides that, her husband is a real jerk. And their kids obey. Oh, they obey all right, but you ever notice how depressed they look? And you ought to see how clean her house is. My old lady, her house is a mess. Well, with 5 kids, what do you expect? 2-bedroom home? Your carburetor in a sink? Now, take a look down the basement, I said. It's probably full of Pepsi Cola bottles and Tootsie wrappers. And he says, and her hair always is just so. I said, well, she spends $15, $25 on it every week. Your wife did that? You'd rather have her have a hiney than spend that much money. You got to give people food for thought. You understand what I'm saying here? That's direct ministry. It's the truth, though, isn't it? Then go way back into somebody's childhood and ask them why they are that way. Just get to the thing at hand. My God, you're hearing it? Oh, but she's so beautiful, he says. And this man told me, she's such a beauty, you know. Oh, You know, Susie, I says, like Susie Chapstick lips, like that? Is that what you're trying to say? Well, you know, I love everything about her, the way she walks, the way she talks, I could go on forever. No, I says, you don't have to go on forever. Just divorce your wife and that'll stop you. That'll stop you from going on. Because you know why it's going to stop you? You're going to go from the frying pan into the fire. You think you had it bad before there, boy. Oh! Because after you leave your wife for another, you run into a brand new set of problems. Now she's the boss. You move when she said jump. You better jump, Jack. Now about this time, all the customers in the cafe are looking around. What's going on? Well, they're all getting ministered to, too. Why minister to one person when you can minister to several folks? You get a regular audience, and they rush in to sit in the booth. You know they're going to sit. They're sitting in the next one. You work it just like they do these soaps. You want to find out what the next chapter is, see? But oh, I said, she's learned something from her first marriage. She's battle-hardened. And after the wedding, she's going to put on her master sergeant stripes and her helmet and her fatigues and her boots. And she's going to have everything you can imagine for you to do. No man will ever rule her again. She's got her rights. You hear in this radio audience and tape ministry, be happy where you are at. Oh, but after a couple of weeks or a month. No wonder your wife can't stand you. You are an ignorant nincompoop. And here he is now, I says, you'll be singing these old alimony blues. Your old trade-in won't look so bad. Say amen. I guess you've gathered by now I'm against divorce. I'm playing around. Oh, they don't say that people don't think that playing around would be all right. Who gives them that thought? The devil. Boy, that would be nice to play around a little bit. Well, don't play around with that idea. That idea will come to you, but don't play around with it. How do those ideas come to you? Oh, come on, be honest. But you don't have to play with them. Too much truth here? Well, it's getting kind of quiet in here. Hey, radio audience, you're getting awful quiet. You on the tape too, truth. Ooh. And then most times I told this guy, I says, when the woman that's been misused remarries, she has a better relationship. It's got to be better. Just look what she was married to before. Goodbye. I got to be running. You're waiting for me down to church. Ooh, see, if we're dishonest, we must make restitution. We can only have forgiveness of sins if we make restitution. If we're willing, I say, to be restored. Are you willing to be restored in your mind? Says, let your mind be renewed, washed by the water of the Word. But how is it washed by the water of the Word? By going to the water of the Word and acting it out, taking it in, and giving it out. Maybe restoration doesn't come all at once. But be willing to pick up the first brick in your collapsed marriage. Clean up the hurt feelings, those bricks, and clean up those separate bed bricks. So many people, they separate. Well, we're separated. How are you ever going to get along when you're separated? You're getting apart. You're not getting along. How are you ever going to get together if you're separated? Isn't that dumb? No, I'll stay in there and fight it out. Frying pan, rolling pins. Oh, man, go at it. Ah, you missed again. Doink. Huh? Oh, God. Pick up those bricks and scrape them off and put them in place. Jesus Christ, the cornerstone, and build on that. You know, you can make a beautiful marriage out of old, fallen down, broken old bricks. Jesus Christ being the cornerstone. So stop thinking about it and just do it. Be reconciled, the Bible says. And it doesn't give you a whole lot of for instances. Well, be reconciled if. Be reconciled if everything will go your way. And if they'll say, uncle, you know. You ever play that when you were a kid? Say uncle! I pretty near died a few times that way because I would not say uncle. That's what happens when we won't say uncle. Suffer. The Bible says, be ye reconciled. And what does that mean? That means come together. Reconcilie. Means come together. It means go to the high court of God, reconciliation court, and reconcile this thing. There's only one judge. And it's always the same. Be ye reconciled. You start arguing and fighting. Order in the court. Be ye reconciled. Be ye filled with the Spirit. Deny yourself. Bear one another's burdens. Don't try to salvage the old building, the one that's built on old attitudes and frustrations and old mads and old hurts. So many people just love to live mad. Well, I'm mad. What are you mad about? Now, put the coffee pot on. You got to listen for 4 hours about why they're mad. Who cares? That's boring, isn't it? You know why I'm mad? No, and I really don't care. Why sit and listen to why someone is mad? That is mad. It's also a waste of time. Now, I know this sounds real simple, but you know what? It's the truth. The Bible says, be reconciled. Now, you have to do that. Don't talk about it, and don't think about it. Now, what do you have to think about being reconciled? Be reconciled. Now, whatever does that mean? You know, when you're thinking, you're trying to think your way out of it? If you just obey God, you're reconciled. Isn't that right? Oh, you know, there's a spirit all over our land. There is. Know what it is? A rebellious spirit. You can even feel it whilst you're preaching. Be reconciled. You can just feel the grinding of teeth. Oh, God, I hate that person. Oh, God. You don't know the trouble I've seen. And I don't care to. How many are hearing this? Yeah, it's just truth. Tear down those last two courses of blocks all the way down and start all over again with Jesus as the master builder. Be tender haulers of the bricks. Put them into place after you've scraped off all those problems and put them into place and mortar them in, Jesus Christ being the cornerstone. Be a cement hauler. And let Jesus put your blocks in place. And let Jesus keep them in line too. And then move in and take care of the inside of your new buildings. Not built by human hands. So many times we have a marriage that's built by human hands. Oh, our human hands go to work, and they work, and they hammer, and they toil, and they saw, and they put cars together, and they operate on people, you know what I mean? And they do all these things, and we have a marriage at home, and you're making the living, and she's out doing the thing, and the kids are there, and she's taking care of the kids, and she's doing her thing, and you're doing their thing, and it's a marriage built by human hands. And it's really built on sand, and it won't stand. Here we can have one not built by human hands. Jesus Christ being the cornerstone. But there is a few things, my God, they are so simple, and people cannot, they'll strip on the very first thing they read. Some of the very first things I read in the Bible were truths that are so deep. My God, I'm still trying to live those very basic truths. What is it? It's because of an obstinate spirit that we cannot receive a very basic truth, and the whole building is built not on Jesus Christ. And it won't stand, and it won't be any fun, and it won't work out. You'll live in a sort of a comfortable coexistence. Hey, have you got a marriage that bombed? Well, start putting it together with Jesus. In 2 Thessalonians, Verse 21. But examine everything carefully, hold fast to that which is good, abstain from every form of evil. And 1 John 3:3. Are you hearing it? And everyone who has this hope fixed on him purifies himself just as he is pure. And 2 Corinthians 6, starting in verse 3. Giving no cause for offense in anything, in order that the ministry be not discredited, but in everything commend ourselves as servants of God, in much endurance, in afflictions and hardships, are you hearing it? In distresses, in beatings, imprisonments, and tumults, in labors, in sleeplessness, and in hunger, in purity and knowledge, in patience and kindness, in the Holy Spirit, in genuine love, in the word of truth, in the power of God, by the weapons of righteousness for the right hand and the left, by glory and dishonor, by evil report and good report, regarded as deceivers yet true, as unknown yet well known, as dying yet behold we live, as punished yet not put to death. as sorrowful, yet as always rejoicing, as poor, yet making many rich, as having nothing, yet possessing all things. Does it sound like contradictions? No. No. That's the way it is. On the way, am I pure? The battle of life right here on that one question, am I pure? And I know from a very personal experience, am I pure? It rests on this. The battle of life right here will probably never rise above the sex battle. If we fail here, it will contaminate us all the way down the line. First of all, we must acknowledge sex and don't try to act like it isn't there. I remember I first got saved, filled with the Holy Spirit. I went in and I was so holy that they had all, I said this, I have to say it again though. And all these pictures were hanging all over it as naked women and where I was working. And I thought, oh, these guys are so filthy down here looking at all these pictures and pornographic material and all. I would just walk right by them. I was above all this. But you know what? Wasn't a whole day went by that I tried not to look at those pictures. My head would go, and I spent the whole day trying not to look at those pictures. Now I won't go through the whole story, but God healed me. I'm like, no, he healed me on that. He says, why don't you pray for the women that are on those calendars? It's somebody's mother, you know. And I started to pray for the women that were on the calendars, and I lost my desire to look. But first of all, you got to be honest with yourself. You have to acknowledge there is such a thing as sex. And so many times you hear radio ministers, they talk like, you know, like they don't know anything. Sex, what is that? Oh, huh? You know what, preacher? It will always prove you a liar. And at the most embarrassing times, at the church, at school, while visiting Christian friends, when alone in Kansas City, here I come, when alone in the Holiday Inn with a paid cable TV, when you're in a cafe, because we all have sex desires. And if you try to repress them, your subconscious will fill up with all of those kind of things you ain't supposed to be thinking about, and you legalize them and say, I won't, I won't, I won't. And as you say, you won't, you won't, you won't, what are you reminding yourself? You're reminding yourself, are you hearing this? Hear it. Sit back and hear it. You remind yourself of sex. I won't, I won't, I won't. And what are you reminding yourself of? And so they pile up on the inside. All of your lies. I don't think that way. I'm above that. And they'll all barge out. Pretty soon it will be sex at breakfast. Has nothing to do with fried too. Over easy, ham on the side with toast, but it'll be there because you tried to suppress it. So you'll have sex with your breakfast, and you'll have sex with your dinner, and you'll have sex with your supper, and sex with TV, and sex at church, sex while you're awake, and sex while you're asleep, and sex while you're swimming, and sex while you're playing ping pong, and sex while you're bowling. And sooner or later, your subconscious you will release the hiding you. Some years back, Joni James sang a song, Your Cheating Heart. Your cheating heart will tell on you. And pretty soon, pornographic material will look good to you. X-rated movies will look good to you. No friends will look good to you. Oh, my God, I want to get out there and live. Oh, God, I got to get out of this. A lustful body? A lying body, an embezzling body, a cheating body, a selfish body. I said, oh, take it gladly. Here, take it. Who needs it? A garbage can. And we act like we're giving God some big prize. It's no prize. God's doing you a favor. Give me your body. Everything that's in it. Don't hold back anything. For a rainy day. See, friends, your righteousness is Jesus Christ, and your confession keeps you free. Jesus is the light of my life. Jesus is my salvation. And Jesus is my joy and my peace. And Jesus is my all. And Jesus is my life. That's your confession. Your confession. I have been delivered, and I have this confession, from self-remodeling programs. Have you tried to remodel yourself lately? How many have tried to remodel themselves? You want to be a model Christian? So you try to remodel yourself. You say, well, now, what can I do with myself today to make remodel myself? You know what I mean? Maybe people are getting tired of the old me. I mean, I'm going to try to remodel myself. Now, how can I shape myself into a better Christian? Try to work up a more of a pious smile and more of a religious smile, and your lips get real together. Ooh, you stink. You know what I mean? And try to remodel. You're no good at remodeling. You're made. God made you, and He knows how to remodel you. Don't try to remodel yourself. God, people are miserable when they're trying to remodel themselves. Isn't she a model Christian? What is a model Christian? Is there such a thing? Do you model yourself after a model Christian? No, you model yourself after God. That's something to model yourself. You ain't never going to get done. Or maybe some of you have do-it-yourself kits, and you get all these little pamphlets and books. And there's so many of them around. You can pick them up. You know, they'll give them away, or they're 25 cents or a dime when you pick them up. And got just enough scripture. And so this week you remodel yourself with all these scriptures. Then you remodel yourself with all these and all these and all the different types of ministry. You remodel. So one day you're this way. Okay, no, I'm going to do it. You can smell it coming. Oh, can't you? And so they're remodeled after this one, and then they're on to this one. And then they're on to this one, and then they're on to, and there's about 12, 13 teachings around, and they remodel themselves, and then they start over again, and they go back and forth, and they never let God work on them. They remodel after a model, and they don't let God work on them. God says, change. None of these books are going to do you any good until you change and let me deal with you. Not someone else's testimony, although that's good, but you got to have a testimony, and you got to do the Word of God, and you got to be realistic in the thing. Do-it-yourself kits. What is that? Well, you get a pair of blinders and gags and earplugs, and they don't work. Do you know that? Because the subconscious mind will always reveal you in the end. And when it does, by the way, give it to God. I remember the first revealing of myself that I had. I thought, whoa, what is that smell? But every normal person has sex desires. Don't be ashamed, it's part of you. The question is not whether we have sex desires, but whether sex desires have us. You're wondering what I said there, huh? Well, I just said, the question is not whether we have sex desires, but whether sex desires have us. They're a normal, natural thing. But they don't have to have you. own you, direct you, have you in the morning for breakfast and dinner and supper and TV when you're awake and when you're sleeping, and surround every thought. And I know for one thing for sure, that sex as a servant can be a servant of higher desires and purposes. And I believe it is a beautiful servant because it can give you drive. You can take the sex drive and have it drive you into art, into ministry, into all kinds of things, creative things. But sex as a master is hell. Did you know that? I know there's a lot of people that counsel about sex problems, and they're honest to a point. Honest in general, but they're not honest in the particulars. They won't admit their mind is living in the gutter, and so the gutter lives in them. Make me pure, Lord, but not now. Did you hear what I said? We really have to be honest with God and say, God, I want to be pure in my desires, but don't hold a little bit back. Say, God, but I want it now. Right now, God. Right where I'm sitting, right where I'm standing. I want it right now. Because, you know, if we said that and we believe that, God would change us. You wouldn't be Rudolph Vasolino anymore. Whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart. Always give your wrong thoughts, I'm saying, to God. And he will give you his thoughts. And he says, my thoughts are way above your thoughts, and my ways are way above your ways. And you know what will happen? He'll take you out of the gutter. Oh, what a fresh feeling that is to be out of the gutter. God's good will overcome our evil every time if we ask now. Here's another question. You on the radio, on the tape. Are you loving? Are you easily offended? We dealt with the sins in the flesh. Now let's deal with the sins in our dispositions. Remember the parable of the prodigal son? The prodigal sinned in the flesh. And the older brother sinned in his disposition. Bad temper, unlove, envy, jealousy, hate, unforgiveness. Now the sins of the flesh are not respectable. We kick those kind of people out. But if someone in church is mean and mad and gossipy and critical and selfish and frustrated, we overlook all that and we make him a preacher. Or a board member. Not here, though. Bad-tempered, touchy, argumentative, religious people do as much, I know it, to harm the kingdom of God as the drunks and the murderers and the adulterers. But suppose the prodigal would have met the elder brother on the road before the father met him. Oh, no, you don't. No, you don't come in here after all this. No, not at the midnight hour, brother. No, 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 no. Look at your clothes and look at your body and look at your face. You're disgusting. We hate you. You're a pig. You stink. Go back where you came from. Off to a far country. Don't you come in here hurting my dad, you pig. And he slaps him around a little bit. You see, this person would have been driven back by a wrong spirit. Then, closing here, we have two major sins, and I believe they are anger and fear. They sort of form a basis for the most of our unhappinesses. Anger and fear. Well, that's dangerous people when they're fearful or when they're angry. But let's operate. Let God operate on you if you have these, even if it is a major operation. Woo! Oh, my God. Ephesians 4 and 31 and 32. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. And be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving each other, just as God in Christ Jesus has forgiven you. Wow. Ooh. So here, lastly, are you selfish or are you Christ-like? Does self-interest then control your actions, or does Christ's interest control your actions? We'll soon be found out. Aren't we all found out? Oh, I'm found out every time I have self-actions that control me. You blow your cover. Who gets the last word? You or Jesus? If you dominate your life, you lose it. You blow it. If Christ does, the Bible says it will come out happy, involved, and beautiful. First Timothy 6 and 6 says, but godliness actually is a means of great gain when accompanied by contentment. Well, we have brought nothing into the world, so we cannot take anything out of it either and go and look in them cabinets where they got all them stiffs in there. They got a string around their toe, a little wire around the toe. You can't tell if they're rich or poor, beggar or whatever. And if we have food and covering, with these we shall be content. But those who want to get rich fall into temptation and the snare and many foolish and harmful desires which plunge men into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is the root of all sorts of evil. And some, by longing for it, have wandered. Wandered away from the faith, the Bible says, and pierced themselves with many a pang. But flee from these things, you man of God, and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, perseverance, and gentleness. Fight the good fight of faith. Take hold of eternal life to which you are called, and make good confession in the presence of many witnesses. Oh, how we need to give our witness out. Oh, how we need to give it out, our witness. I charge you in the presence of God, who gives life to all things, and of Christ Jesus, who testified a good confession before Pontius Pilate, that you keep the commandment without stain or reproach until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, which he will bring about at a proper time. Are you hearing it? He who is blessed and only sovereign, the King of kings, Lord of lords. And lastly here, we must confess our faults. It says, confess your faults one another to be healed. Tonight, as I was ministering deliverance ministry, if you in your own mind confessed any of these faults and confess them either one another by putting up your hands and whatever, do you know that that's a healing? How many know that's a healing? The recognizing that we have these things of being honest with God. Like I said with David, he wasn't perfect, but he had a desire to be perfect, and God was looking at his heart. And it says, God will give you the desires of your heart. by a simple confession of raising your hand, by a simple recognizing that you were wrong in some area of your life. Not that it's a great big thing that you're wrong most of the time anyway. According to God's love and God's truth, I mean, even if you were as truthful as you possibly could be, according to God's truth, you're a liar. It says, let every man be a liar, let God be true, and every man be a liar. Why? You cannot have the full truth that God has it. And so by a simple recognizing in a message such as this tonight, recognizing those things that so easily beset you, those things that encumber you as you try to run the race, and you put up your hands and say, oh my God, that's me. I surrender. I surrender all. And you give those things up. You know what happens? You get free. And that's what deliverance ministry is all about. Facing the truth. My God, what are my motives? And what are my real desires? And what am I after? Don't get washed out by it. Just say, oh my God, that's me. Oh, I surrender. Ho, ho, ho. Take me. And what are you giving up anyway? Confess to God. Let the Holy Spirit reveal and clean out the big house. You know what the big house is? The big house is the prison. I used to minister in prisons. And the big house, that's where all the problems were. You know what I call the big house in a person? The subconscious. That's where all the hardened criminals are down inside there. That's where all of the solitary confinement of your old things are down inside there. Huh? And you open up a little crack at the bottom and you shove the bread in. Yeah! Remember I was yelling down inside of a cell and sounded like I was inside of a milk bottle. Shut up! That kind of reminds me of my old self when I try to lock things in. You're not good, so I'm going to lock you up. I'm going to put you in solitary confinement. Clink, clank, huh? Worse now, they don't have that. They got colored TV, and you can get everything. How many hearing this message tonight? And we lock those things up, and we put them in solitary confinement. But we don't give them the truth, so they never get free and they live in darkness. Jesus is the answer for the world today. Jesus is the answer for the world today. Oh, there is no other. Jesus is the way. There is no hiding while on the way. No hiding. My God, sometimes I'd like to hide myself. I get revealed. Well, I'm on the way. And I don't want to get off the way. You know what? We try to hide behind a tree over here. Satan says, come on over here. They're going to find out. And you go hide over behind a tree. Oh, they didn't see you. Get back on the way again. You're okay. Nobody's seen you, huh? Now, what do you suppose God is doing? He sees you. And everybody else, 4 or 5 other folks seen you running over behind that tree over there, hiding until the coast was clear. Coast clear? Yeah. Okay, come on out. You come on out and everybody sees you. And it's so hard for us to stay on the way when we've been wrong. Oh, if you're going to stumble, stumble forward. Why does everybody have to stumble backwards? How about front slide instead of back slide? Isn't there a front sliding? Why do you have to have the back slide? What about sliding into God with your problems and your faults instead of backsliding into the devil? Oh, I failed. Oh, here I come, devil. No. I failed. Here I come, Lord. Amen. Amen. You let God pick up your nasty little old body and shake it a little bit. Say, this body belongs to me. It's my sacrifice. Amen. You sacrificed it to me. You gave it to me. Now I'm going to take care of it. Had enough? Yeah, okay. Get back on the way again. Too simple? God, I'm getting old. I ain't got a whole lot of time to preach. I ain't got time for seminars. Baloney-ars. Self-pleasy-ars. Wasty-timey-ars. woman told me the other night, she says, oh, Pastor Paul, we have just got to go. Where was that she wanted to go? My God, it was made me sick. Amsterdam. We've got to go to Amsterdam. I thought, what in the world? I don't even know where it's at. Why do I have to go there? I don't know where it's at. Do you wear wooden shoes there or what? Is that, we got the right geography? Huh? What are they doing out there? All them tulips and stuff out there. Well, you've just got to go to Amsterdam. I thought, why? I don't want to go to Amsterdam. I felt like saying that. It just came to my mind, you know. I just get crazy thoughts like that. And I felt like getting up. I don't want to. I don't want to. Huh? It's the grace of God that keeps me. You got to know that. Oh, God. Hey, people, let's just be honest. And let's just be truthful and say, oh, God, if it wasn't for your grace, none of us would make it. And God, help us while we're on the way. There's no hiding from you. There's no hiding. Adam, where are you? God ever come looking for your Adam? I know you're in there. And you come out with your great big fig leaf of excuses. Huh? Oh, did you want me? You try to play dumb, you know, stand this great big huge leaf around your body. Oh, we were just out here, me and Eve. Huh? Standing with the apple of sin behind your back. Huh? Got to be honest with God. That's all we have to do. Whew. Is there anyone in here tonight that doesn't have Jesus as their personal Savior? You can have him tonight. It's the most precious thing that could ever happen to you, ever, ever, ever happen to you, is to receive Jesus as your personal Savior. Huh? Come on, we're in the middle of a salvation thing now. Don't get into Christians. Don't get into talky-talks. We're in the middle of us. This is the most serious part of the message. Right? So many times you see Christians, they'll get up at the end of concerts, and they say, okay, now, and they start playing the organ for a salvation call, and then, you know, meet you over at Chi-Chi's, and, you know, run out for Chi-Chi's, you know. Huh? God, that irritates me. They're supposed to have their heads bowed and praying for someone to get saved, and they're all running out to Chi-Chi's or the, you know, Chicken Little or some dumb place like that. And most of us are overweight anyway, aren't we? About giving up some of that food. Is there anyone in here tonight that doesn't have Jesus as their personal Savior? You can have him tonight. It'll change your life. Change it completely. Praise the Lord. Are you all born again here? All born again? Born again? Okay. Are you born again, sir? Oh, I'm glad you came tonight. Is it something you can't understand with your own understanding? It's something you have to receive as a free gift. Something you say, yes, some of the things you said here tonight were true about me, and I need to change, and I know there's only one way I can change. We're in a very serious hour right now, aren't we? An hour when it says there'll come an hour of perplexity. It means where there'll seemingly be no way out. But then the Bible says, God maketh the way where there seemeth to be no way. But if you're on the way, that's the only way you're going to get out of this mess that we're in right now. Financial, physical, moral, I don't care what it is. It is a mess. You're living in the greatest insane asylum in the whole of the universe, planet Earth. The biggest morgue. Could drop dead tonight. It is the biggest morgue in the universe. But you can have Christ tonight. And having Christ tonight will give you the peace that passes all understanding. You say, God, I know in whom I believe that he is able to keep me under that hour. Well, Paul, how did you ever come to believe the kind of guy you were? Well, the kind of guy I am even now was only by the grace of God. And I'll be that way when I leave here. It's only because of God's grace that I'm going to have, can say anything. It's a time to be honest, isn't it? It's a time when people are fearful. And it says in the end, men's hearts will fail. We're looking at a whole lot of fearful people right now. I'm ministering to groups of fearful people. When you minister to different groups, bankers and lawyers and, you know, the doctors and the dentists, and the whole room's full of people like that. You know the biggest single thing that's there? Anger and fear. People are angry and they're fearful. I'm so glad you came tonight. Can I pray with you, sir, for you to receive Jesus as your Savior right here?
You can do whatever you want.
Okay. Just pray with me. Say, Dear Lord Jesus.
No, sir.
You don't want to. Okay. It says in the Bible that if you will confess in your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus Christ is Lord, you will be saved. Now, I don't try to pretend to understand that, but I know that there's a power of the gospel unto salvation, and if you do that, you start to change. Okay, are you born again here? You born again, honey? Are you born again? No. You're going to pray with me. To say, Dear Lord Jesus, I am a sinner. Come into my heart and save me. And now, Jesus, baptize and fill me with God's Holy Spirit. Give me wisdom and knowledge, peace, joy, and love. And Lord, a new language to praise your holy name. Praise God, I'm saved and filled with God's Holy Spirit. Amen. You know, it says in the Bible, honey, it says that to confess your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus Christ is Lord. Because the believing makes you confess it. And the confessing makes you a believer. And Jesus said, it's a simple gospel. It says, well, how will they know? Unless someone comes to preach, and how will they know without a preacher? Well, I'm the preacher. See? And that's how people come to know. Are you born again, honey? Okay. Oh, woe be it to the preacher that doesn't preach the gospel. This is a real simple message. And it says that the poor will receive the gospel. And you know what? When you go down into the streets, the poor are receiving the gospel. They got holes in their shoes. I mean, that's one of the miracles. Are you born again? Are you born again, son? Okay. You received something tonight, didn't you? Yeah, you did. You know what? You were like a little sponge there. I mean, you were just sucking the message up so fast that I couldn't get it out fast enough. Did you hear that? That little suction noise? That was her sucking in the message. Oh, to God that we'd all suck in the message and we'd all do like the Bible says, love one another. You know what? It's the biggest crime ever was that we don't love one another. There would be nobody hungry in any part of this world right now if we just love one another. It's a real simple message. But of course, we should go to several seminars to learn that, huh? What is love? What is it? And we just fantasize, and you'll never know what love is, because love is God. You're never going to know every aspect of God, but just live out, do the word. Feed them when they're hungry and love them, even as you love yourself. It's real simple. Doesn't take a whole lot of time. Like I say, you might drop dead tomorrow, so don't complicate the message. Why get puffed up on something that's just as spindly as this? Started thinking about it the other day. I said, my God, I'm not going to be afraid. Why be afraid? I'm up there in front of all them people and all these influential people. And I thought, now, what am I ever going to minister to them? Jesus spoke to me and says, gospel. And when I got up, I says, I'm a gospel preacher. And that's what you're going to hear, gospel. And you know what, preacher? You listen to me. If you get up and you're a gospel preacher and you give out anything besides gospel, it's going to fall flatter than a pancake. No blueberries in it either. Just flat. Let's hear it for the Lord.